Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
What do you say? 2020. So Friday night, I'm out going to get some food. My wife had called in an order. I'm going to pick it up. And in the car, I find out Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, had passed. What else is going to happen in 2020? I don't even want to ask. I'm not a knock on wood guy. I don't even know if this is wood, but I'm knocking on it now. I've got that. The Trump interview, we'll play portions of it at the end of today's show. You're not going to want to miss it. The full interview is now available everywhere. It was available exclusively on my Rumble account, rumble.com/Bongino last night. It's now available everywhere. Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Bongino.com. Please listen to it. It's about 25 minutes long. President Trump just, his answer on the, what he's going to do after the election with the chaos is great. You're not going to want to miss that. Also with social media, he lights it up. So again, rumble.com/Bongino, Apple Podcast. Check that out as well. It's about 25 minutes. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joe, how are you today? Fine, sir.
Well, you know, it's Monday.
So I had to let Joe in on some info this morning. It's been a fascinating weekend. Stay tuned, folks. I will have some more information on that later. We'll have to bring up Donnie Brasco in that. And and stay tuned. I'll just leave it at that. All right, Joe, let's go. All right, folks. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed on Friday night. It was a shock to me. I had no inside information on that at all. I don't know if any of you did or if you have contacts inside, but nobody saw that coming. Nobody I know. She was 87, was not in the best of health. Obviously, you know, we're all children of God and, you know, anyone's passing is tragic. But of course, within moments, the political machination started. That's always the way it's going to be in this hyper-partisan, hyper-political environment. Now, no one should expect any different. Having said that, there is now an empty seat. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Mitch McConnell is the Senate majority leader. And Republicans have a 53-seat majority. Meaning what? Meaning we have the power. You may not like that, Democrats, but that's okay. You don't have to like it. There's an election in January and you can change that, just like we changed the composition of the Senate in the midterms in 2018 and we won. Now, the Democrats were already howling. We shouldn't pick anyone, the Republicans, for that open seat. The Senate shouldn't confirm anyone because there's an election coming up. So what? Now, they'll say, well, Mitch McConnell said once in the Merrick Garland selection in the last year of Obama when Antonin Scalia tragically died. Mitch McConnell said, we're going to keep that seat open because there's an election coming up. No, Mitch McConnell was then in charge of a Republican majority of the Senate and Barack Obama was a Democrat. Totally different. Now, you're going to start running into pseudo historians now. You know, these types, Joe, they start inventing new history and precedent. Mm-hmm. In 1862.5, we had an incident with Joey Bag of Donuts on the Supreme Court, which indicates his prior... I'm not interested, ladies and gentlemen, in your fake history. I'm going to give you the real history right now in a terrific piece by Dan McLaughlin at National Review about what really happens when a Supreme Court seat opens up in an election year. Because, Joe, history, meaning it actually happened, this isn't that movie Tenet where you can go back in time through the reverse turnstile in reverse. There's an actual history, recorded history, of what's happened. So right. Don't let your liberal friends make it up. Dan McLaughlin, National Review. Go to my show notes. Bongino.com/newsletter, ladies and gentlemen, is where you get the show notes. It's free. Subscribe. I send them to you every day. Read this article. National Review, Dan McLaughlin. History's on the side of the Republicans filling a Supreme Court vacancy in 2020. Note when the article's written, folks. Look at the date. August 7th. In other words, Dan wrote this article before the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So, you're rewriting history after the death of Ruth. No, this article was written before that. You can see that right there. So what's the real history of what happens in a vacancy during the election year? Well, let's go through it. How often has this happened exactly, where a Supreme Court seat is opened up in a presidential election year? Well, if you'd listen to the Democrats and the fake historians, Joe, who are now going to make up a fake history that's not real, mm-hmm. they'd tell you, oh, Dan, that's rare. That's rare. Joe, never happens. Never. This is, Joe, this is an anomaly and should be treated as such by President Trump. It's anomalous, Joe, for the liberals, meaning doesn't happen often.
Well, thank you.
I know you guys, the thesauruses and dictionaries aren't really your thing, but Joe pretending to be a liberal, and I know he knows what anomalous means because he's told me. So what happens? Again, they've told us it's exceedingly rare. Really? Quote, National Review, 29 times in American history, there's been an open Supreme Court vacancy in a presidential election year. Wow. Or in a lame duck session before the next presidential inauguration. 29 times. That kind of sounds like a lot. Only been 45 presidents, 29 times. So 22 of them have had to deal with this.
Wow.
This counts vacancies created by new seats on the court, but not vacancies for which it was a nomination already pending when the year began, such as in 1835, 36 and 1987, 1988. The president has made nominations in all 29 cases. I thought this was weird. And President Trump's not supposed to make a nomination. It's an anomaly, Joe. So it's happened 29 times. Wow. So it's not an anomaly. Yeah. Again, in the real world, 29 times. And the president has made a nomination all 29 times. Weird. Washington did it. Adams did it. Jefferson did it. Lincoln did it. Grant did it. FDR did it. Eisenhower did it. And Barack Obama did it too. 22 of the 44 men to hold office faced this situation, and all 22 made the decision to send up a nomination, whether or not they had the votes in the Senate. So again, for your liberal friends screaming to you on your Facebook page and at the cocktail parties with the foie gras and the California rolls, that never happens. The precedent is to not nominate someone. Really? Because it's happened 29 times and half the men who've served in the office of the presidency have had to do it. And every one of them did. All right. So we've covered the extremely not rare circumstance where a Supreme Court seat opens up 29 times. 22 presidents have had to do it. Not rare at all. Well, what happens when there's a vacancy on the court in election year and the president's from one party and the Senate's from the other? Like what happened with Barack Obama with the tragic death of Antonin Scalia. When Barack Obama was a Democrat, the Senate was in Republican hands under McConnell and Obama nominated Merrick Garland. Well, obviously, McConnell squashed that like he has the power to do. His advice was no thanks. And his consent was you're not getting that either. Thank you. So let's see what happens, according to the National Review piece, when we have these scenarios with a split party, one in charge of the White House, one in charge of the Senate. Well, what's happened then? Because history does matter, right? Quote, in short, there have been 10 vacancies resulting in a presidential election year or post-election nomination when the president and Senate went from opposite parties. So it's happened 10 times. In six of the 10 cases, a nomination was made before Election Day. Only one of those, Chief Justice Melvin Fuller's nomination by Grover Cleveland in 1888, was confirmed before the election. Four nominations were made in lame duck sessions after the election. Three of those were left open for the winner of the election. Other than the unusual Fuller nomination, because the court was facing a backlog in the docket, three of the other nine were filled after Election Day in ways that rewarded the winner of the presidential contest. All right, so just to be clear, when the parties are split, like Obama and McConnell with the Garland nomination, nominations went up every time. They're 10 for 10. Only one of them got through. All right. So you're telling me when the parties are split in the White House and the Senate that the chances of them getting through are pretty slim. Okay, great. Joe, is that the case now? The answer is no. It's not the case now because we're in charge of the Senate and the White House. Thank you. So you can take your precedent, fake precedent, and wazoo time, for those of you who are regular listeners. We're still trying to discover where the wazoo is exactly. We're in charge. And when we're in charge, we will do what political leaders in charge do, which is be political leaders and execute their duties. Having said that, if we lose the Senate in January, which is possible, could lose the White House too. But say President Trump wins and we lose the Senate. There's a very small likelihood. He should nominate someone regardless. It's happened every time, just to be clear. But the chances of them getting through are slim. Only one of those 10 have slipped by. That's in an election year, just to be clear. After the election, the chances are slim regardless if we lose the Senate. Tell me again why we shouldn't do that now. Again, your fake historian friends will want to rewrite history here and say, oh my gosh, this is unprecedented. Now we know it's not. It's happened 29 times. We know that it's rare if there's split parties to get through, but that's not the case. So what happens when the same party's in charge of the White House and the Senate, like we have now with Republicans in charge of both? Well, we have history for that too. History, meaning it already happened. for the liberals out there, every little confused as they try to rewrite history and tell us what should be done because of precedent they literally made up. Let's go back to this National Review piece. 19 times between 1796 and 1968, presidents have sought to fill a Supreme Court vacancy in a presidential election year like we have now, while their party controlled the Senate, like we have now too. 10 of those nominations came before the election. 9 of the 10 were successful. Sounds good to me. The only failure being the bipartisan filibuster of the ethically challenged Abe Fortas as the Chief Justice in 1968. Many of you remember that. Justices to enter the court under these circumstances included legal luminaries such as Louis Brandeis and Benjamin Cardozo. George Washington made 2 nominations in 1796, one of them a Chief Justice replacing a failed nominee the prior year. So just to be clear, 9 of the 10, 90%, have gotten through when the parties were the same during an election year. You want to again cite fake precedent for me? I'm listening. Where exactly do you have that? It's the Merrick Garland rule. No, you're making that up. That's not the case. The Republicans are in the Senate now. Did you miss that? You may want to pay attention to your history.
The Dan Bongino Show.